Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in this grace and peace through the work of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate on this Pentecost day. The basis for the sermon is from the gospel, especially these words of Jesus when he says, "It is for your good that I am going away." He didn't know how to be loved. He ran from everyone in his life that did show love toward him. He hadn't been to church in a long time. He hadn't worshiped for a while. And he made some pretty damaging life decisions. And then he made a decision you can't walk back from. He was suddenly single and a father. And the birth of a newborn baby brings a sudden shock of sobriety, and now he must find selflessness and the love he must have for his child, and he must accept love from all the people in his life who want to help him blaze this new trail. Now, I'm not referring to any single person or even gender of person, because this is a life story I have seen played out multiple times. But here's the best part of the story. Jesus uses this. Jesus uses the love of this young parent to blaze a path to this young man's heart. And the love he must show for his child, he finally understands. This is what that looks like. In the template of his love for his son, he gets it. This is Jesus' love. Jesus has worked a miracle. Jesus has used a baby to teach a young father, "This is how I have loved you all along. And this is the love I cultivate in the hearts of all the people around you." The miracle? He didn't know how to be loved. Now he does. Joni Eriksson Tada has a ministry called Joni and Friends, where she ministers to people with all kinds of disabilities. She has been in a wheelchair for about 50 years of her life. She was paralyzed in a boating accident at a young age. And she resented what happened. She resented God letting this into her life. And in the struggle that followed with God and with his will, she found a pathway every morning to a smile for one of the 8 people who would come 7 days a week, close friends who would get her out of bed and get her ready for the day. She had this to say. She says, "I'm alone until I hear the front door open at 7 a.m. It's a friend coming to get me up. While I hear her making coffee, I often pray, 'Oh Lord, my friend is about to give me a bed bath, get me dressed, sit me up in my chair, brush my hair and teeth, put on my makeup, and send me out the door. And I'm so tired. I don't have strength to face this routine one more time. I don't have strength to face the day. I have no resources. I don't have a smile to take into the day. But you do. May I borrow your smile? I urgently need you, God. I can't do quadriplegia today, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.'" And she says, "A miracle happens. When she opens my door, I turn my head on the pillow and give her a smile sent straight from heaven. It's not mine. It's my Savior's." Can a smile be a miracle? In Joni's situation? Oh, absolutely. Want more miracles? You don't have to look any further than the faith in the heart of a young child who doesn't question Jesus' love like we older adults are so accustomed to. Look at the young toddler kicking her feet in her chair, singing, "Jesus loves me." Look at the young boy who wants to climb up into his mom's lap to hear another Bible story from her. The faith they treasure so much better than the rest of us is what the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. Learn from them. On this festival of Pentecost, God lead us to see today that the miracle is in the message. Let's take a look at these words of Jesus when he says, "It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." To put it another way, it is better for the disciples to have the Holy Spirit instead of Jesus. Now, to me at least, that sounds kind of crazy. You know, how can it possibly be better for the disciples to not have Jesus? Well, think of it this way. Maybe this is the answer. If Jesus is on earth, the Holy Spirit will use Jesus' words to work faith in people's hearts, and everyone's eyes will be on Jesus. But if Jesus is in heaven, the disciples are speaking God's word, and the Holy Spirit is working through the disciples, and everyone's eyes are on the disciples. And so Jesus says to them, "It is for your good that I am going away." Try to think of it this way. I want you to imagine a church building. And in this church building are all believers everywhere, all gathered together to rejoice in how many people believe in Jesus as their Savior. I want you to imagine this church building at the time of Jesus. Jesus is on earth. Jesus is doing visible miracles. But there's hardly anyone in the church. You take a look around and hardly anyone's here. Hardly anyone who understands who Jesus is and why he came. Fast forward a little bit. Jesus is in heaven, and there are still visible miracles. His disciples are doing those miracles. And you take a look around this church, and there's more people. More people who understand who Jesus is, why he came, what he did. Now, fast forward even a little bit more. Jesus is in heaven. The disciples are in heaven. They're dead. They're no longer on earth. And there are no visible miracles that we know of. But you take a look around this church, and it's packed. It has the largest number of people yet, and it's growing. So we've been tracking these three things: Jesus' presence, miracles' presence, and the number of Christians. And you would think that with Jesus on earth doing miracles, you would have the largest number of Christians, but it is exactly the opposite. That's actually when you have the least number of Christians. And when Jesus is heaven and you still have visible miracles, the number of Christians are growing. And then when Jesus is in heaven and there are no visible miracles, the number of Christians is at its greatest. And it's growing. So what is God trying to teach you in this? Some people might think, well, this is just a simple cause and effect based on chronology. Right? Jesus had to come to be called Christ before people can be called Christians, and it's going to take time for the number of Christians to grow. But I think there's more to it than that. Where God is delicately guiding his church with his hand. Nothing's left up to chance. Nothing ever just turns out that way. Everything turns out for the church exactly how God planned it, exactly how God wills it for the good of the church. And so beginning on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit visibly coming with those tongues of fire that sat on the disciples' heads, the Christian church started to grow, and this is what God wants to teach you. Whether it is Jesus speaking or the disciples speaking, whether it is visible miracles or no visible miracles, the miracle is in the message. God's word works. The Holy Spirit works through that message, regardless of the mouth that proclaims it. That is why the Apostle Paul calls the good news of Jesus the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. This isn't just a thing. This is a person, the Holy Spirit, working faith in the hearts of people. This isn't just a change in a way of thinking. This is a change of an entire person. This isn't just an improvement to someone. This is someone brand spanking totally new. This is the difference between nothing and something. This is the difference between death and life. This is why multiple biblical authors describe having Jesus as the difference between life and not having Jesus as death. Paul says that in Ephesians 2. He says, when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, God made us alive in Christ Jesus. Jesus said it in John chapter 5 when he said, whoever hears the words of the Son of Man and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He has crossed over from death to life. This is the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit we celebrate on this Pentecost day. God working faith in the hearts of believers. And it is absolutely essential and vital that we as a family of believers treasure this and appreciate this and cherish this. Because yes, the church is doing some wonderful things. We as a group of believers are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do some wonderful things. We contribute to our local food pantry. We have ministries for the people in our community who are grieving. We have a ministry for people who are struggling with the effects of divorce. And I can't even list off all of the other ones. We have, as a church body, of 400,000 across the nation. We have foreign missions that do humanitarian work around the world as a way of reaching people with the message of Jesus. But it is this message of Jesus, this message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that is the work of our church. That is the identity of our church in our community, in our country, around the world. And I can tell you some amazing stories about people who have been changed by the ministry of this church and everyone in it. Pastor Hermanson and Pastor Ungemach have far more to share than I do. I can tell you about how our church is starting new missions in states across the country every year, new congregations, new churches forming. I can tell you heart-wrenching stories of success and failure in our foreign missions across the world. But I think that the best way for you and I to appreciate this work of the Holy Spirit is to see the faith God has worked in the fertile soil of your own heart. To see that God has brought you from complete indifference and ignorance toward Jesus and His saving power, conquering sin, death, and the devil. He has not only saved you from this ignorance and indifference toward Jesus, but the work of the Holy Spirit is even more than that. He has brought you not just from death, but from hostility and animosity toward God. The Bible says the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God, nor can it do so. Without Jesus, you are not only indifferent toward and ignorant of the immeasurable love in Jesus becoming like you and suffering like you, being tempted like you, killing sins for you, killing death for you. Without the Holy Spirit, we're not only indifferent, but we are hostile towards, and we have animosity toward this love of Jesus and this love of God. Well, how? How can this be, this indifference and hostility and animosity toward God? Well, it's all around us. It's the sin-sick world we live in. Sin, its desires, its indifference, its animosity, it fills me up. And the worse that makes you feel, the more clearly you see what Jesus has saved you from, the more clearly you see where the Holy Spirit has brought you from. He has brought you not only from death, but from a sinful attitude concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. More fully, Jesus says, when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Does that surprise you? This is the message of the Holy Spirit. Working through guilt? I thought that the work of the Holy Spirit is the good news of Jesus, like Paul said, the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It's the good news of Jesus and His rescue of the world from sin, death, and the devil. This good news is faith and hope and forgiveness. So why would we say that the Holy Spirit works through guilt? Why would we say that a God of love works through guilt? On this side of heaven, we need both guilt and good news. And I have a confession to make as a Lutheran pastor. We aren't always the most clear when we say that the Holy Spirit creates faith through the gospel, the good news of Jesus. That is absolutely true. God has worked wonderful faith in your heart through the good news of Jesus dying for your sins. God does not hold your sins against you. Jesus has paid for them on the cross. The Holy Spirit has used this message to start a relationship with you so that you are able to trust Jesus, trust God instead of fear God. But at the same time, I need to know my sin, or I will not treasure and cherish my Savior from sin. From here to heaven, I will always need both conviction and comfort, law and gospel, because I never stop sinning. But thanks be to God that Jesus never stops saving. Jesus maintains His forgiveness in your soul, even right straight through the middle of every single sin. Thanks be to God that this is the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, that He has led you not to disbelieve such wonderful comfort and truth, but to cling on it, to hang on it desperately for dear life. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, the miracle in the message, through law and gospel, changing people. Changing me. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that goes beyond all our knowledge and understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.